ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। My Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada, Canto 6, Prescribed Duties for Mankind. It's also called Poshana. Poshana, seeking the Lord's protection. Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamil. Today's text, number 12. Nashnata patyamevanam. Nashnata patyamevanam. Vyadhayo bhavantihi. Vyadhayo bhavantihi. Evam niyamakrit rajan. Evam niyamakrit rajan. Shrinaikshe maya kalpate. Shrinakshe maya kalpate. Nashnata patyamevanam. Vyadhayo bhavantihi. Evam niyamakrit rajan. Shrinakshe maya kalpate. Questions?
Bye-bye.
Ashna Nat Ashnataha. Those who eat Patyam suitable Eva indeed Annam food Vyadayaha. Different types of disease. Abhibhavanti, overcome. He, indeed. Evam, similarly. Niyamakrit, one following regulative principles. Rajan, O king. Shanai, gradually. Kshemaya, for well-being. Kalpate, becomes fit. This is Shukadeva Goswami continuing to test his disciple, Parikshit Maharaj. My dear king, if a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured, and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, and this is a very interesting analogy that Sukadeva makes here, comparing food for a patient to this. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses toward liberation from material contamination. Please repeat, my dear king. If a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured. And the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses toward liberation from material contamination. Srila Prabhupada's purport: one is gradually purified if one cultivates knowledge, even through mental speculation, and strictly follows the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and explained in the next verse. Therefore, the platform of Gyan, speculative knowledge, is better than the platform of karma, fruitive action. There is every chance of falling down. There is every chance of falling from the platform of karma to hellish conditions. But on the platform of Gyan, one is saved from hellish life. Although one is still not completely free from infection. The difficulty is that on the platform of Gyan, one thinks that he has been liberated and has become Narayan or Bhagavan. This is another phase of ignorance. Yenye ravinda akshava mukti maninas tvayasta bhavada vishuddha buddhayaha. Avruya krishtrena parampadam tata patantyaho nadrita nyushmadam rayaham. This is from Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. Because of ignorance, one speculatively thinks himself liberated from material contamination, although actually he is not. Therefore, even if one rises to Brahma-gyan, understanding of Brahman, one nevertheless falls down because of not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Nonetheless, jnanis at least know what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunctions of the Shastras. Srila Prabhupada ki. Just see how Prabhupada's purport. This is why secular scholars often don't like Prabhupada's translations, and because where bhakti is only implicit, Bhaktivedanta Swami makes it very explicit, and they think that's not fair, you know. He's biased. Because Prabhupada knows Siddhanta. He knows Vedaischa Sarvayarahami Vavidyam. He knows where Krishna's going with it. He knows where Shukadeva's going. And you're going to see in three verses where he's going with this. Om Ajnanativarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So the last time I was in Sridhar Mayapur was back in March, and the Bhagavatam was Jad Bharat instructing Maharaj Vahugana. So you've come a long way. Come along all over the universe, actually. After that, then Shukadeva Goswami starts giving everyone a tour of the Vedic, you know, cosmos, the cosmos according to the Vedic version. And then, as you know, it ended up, Shukadeva saved the best for last. It ended up in hell. It ended up in the hellish planets. So this is it's very extraordinary, because Maharaj Pariksit, He's been cursed to die in 7 days, right? He's just got a few days left to live. You know, you hear in the news somebody's on death row and they're trying to appeal the case and this stuff. So he's got a curse on his head. So he hears about that. He hears about hell. He hears about the hellish tortures. So what is his response? You know, he's not responding like someone on death row who's just so consumed by his imminent demise, you know, that he can't even think of others. So Pariksit Maharaj, the sixth canto starts by saying, how can people be saved from hell? This is extraordinary. So it's very interesting how Shukadeva Goswami, he gives his answer in three phases, and the three-phase answer is a test. He starts testing his disciple. First he throws the bone of, you know, karmakanda. Oh, you can be saved from sinful reactions by atonement through, you know, different ritualistic ceremonies. So Pariksit rejects this. He says, look, I see people do this, and we see it today. You know, we might see it in ourselves, right? Sinning, confessing. Bhogatyaga. It doesn't work. It's back and forth. Saturday night, Sunday morning, you know. But it's the whole pendulum of the material world. So Pariksit very shrewdly says to his master, what's the use of this? You know, it's rather bold actually for him to say that, but it's actually good. Because as Krishna points out, well, we'll get that in a few minutes. In the fourth chapter of the Gita, it's called Transcendental Knowledge. And so from text 25 through 33, you get all kinds of different sacrifices in terms of the ashrams, brahmacharya, and Vihasta, and the yogis, you know, sacrifice the breath, and it all culminates in transcendental knowledge. So Parikshit, he says, you know, what's the use of this? Is people just go back to the same stuff and they just perpetuate their suffering. And even if they do bounce up to Svarga, you know, so what? You bounce, you come back down. Te tang buktva svargalokam vishalam kshine punye marchalokam vishanti. You just spend your good karma, and here you are again, back in these earth suits, and they stink. That's my complaint about the middle planets. Smells. Punyo Gandak, Krishna says. I am the original fragrance of the earth. The older you get, the body shows its true creases and smells. And anyway. So Parikshit, he's what's the use of this stuff? So, first hurdle passed. Very good. So then Sukadeva throws another bone. The bone of Dhyanakanda. Now this is really enticing. As Krishna says in the 14th chapter of the Gita, 6th verse. Because it's all about, it's sattvic, you know. It looks real good. You become a first-class prisoner. Hey, deal. Tatrasatvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukasangena badnati jnanasangena chanakam. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode develop knowledge, and then Krishna gives the kicker. But they become conditioned by the concept of happiness. And then in the purport, Prabhupada spells it out. Yeah, the difficulty of this mode, you know, mundane goodness, is that you look around you, you know, you become a poet, a philosopher, a scientist, and you look around you and you just think, oh, those poor devils, right? Or you say, like, who was it, Thoreau or Emerson said, the masses of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Poor devils. Of course, I'm not gonna die, right? Or somehow I'm gonna beat the rap, or I'm gonna die a glorious death. No, it's another trap. Therefore, in the purport, Prabhupada quotes the famous verse from the prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. Prabhupada quoted this a lot, and he would usually just quote the last line. Oh no, he would quote vimukta. He would say vimukta mani, no, vimukta. They imagine that they're free. They imagine that they're free. It's like I once read a book called How to Read a Book. Thinking about thinking, you know. And I had to edit a book, and I had never edited a book before. I have a god sister, Lekha Shravanti Mataji. You saw Ambarish offer Guru Puja today? So when Prabhupada bought the Fisher Mansion, which is the present home of the Detroit temple, he talked the realtor down to 300,000 cash. First he said to the realtor, we are monks, we are poor monks, so you kindly donate. I mean, you just don't say that to an American realtor, right? And the lady practically fell off her chair. You can't say that? That's all right, that's, you know, proper pacifier. And then they were asking 400,000 cash. And Prabhupada had taken a tour of the building, and he confided to the devotees, each room is worth what they're asking. He confided, right? And then he said, Prabhupada said, 300,000 cash. Okay. Yeah, you talked us down. And then Prabhupada didn't have a penny, you know. Then he turned to Ambarish. Now you can help. Well, Ambarish can tell you that he's here now. He can tell you the full thing. And then Ambarish, he covered half of it, 150 grand. And then Lekha Shravanti Mataji, who was also, she was the daughter of a famous person in her own right. He was the great-grandson, Ambarish, of Henry Ford. But Lekha Shravanti was the daughter of the most famous American labor leader of the 20th century, Walter Reuther, who was the Gandhi of the American labor movement. He was so austere. And he got a relatively good life for the workers. As always, I forget. I get so lost in the story, I forget where I was going with it. What was I talking about? Book editing. Yeah. Okay. So Prabhupada's with the grand opening, and what and how Prabhupada handled the auto aristocracy when they came. That's another class. But in 1988, Lekha Shravanti decided she wanted to write a book about her famous father. And she did, and I was their editor. So before I edited the book, thank you for keeping an eye on the old guy. I never edited a book, so I read this book by a New York philosopher named Mortimer Adler. It's called How to Read a Book. And I read it was a pretty good book. But the whole book was about, you know, cultivating the life of the mind, right, and reading the great books. The great books of the West, you know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, and all the classics. And then right toward the end of the book, Mr. Adler says, so these books, you read these books, and they will take you higher and higher and higher and higher. And then he said, and then you die. And then he goes on, and then I'm thinking, wait a minute. Hey, Mort, what do you mean, and then you die? What about that? You know, what about, and then you die? he says, and then you die. And then he goes on about, you know, how to keep going higher and higher. So he was, you know, so what? You know, you go higher and higher and higher and higher, and then you, here you are on planet Earth. And so as you'll see, Parikshit Maharaj also rejects the path of Gyanakanda because knowledge is not enough. As Prabhupada very generously says at the end of the purport, nonetheless, Gyanis at least know what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunctions of the Shastras. So they don't have to do, they don't have to counteract sinful activities because by knowledge they avoid it. They're smart enough to know what not to know what to do and what not to do. But knowledge is not enough. And that's what will be very clear when you come to the 15th verse. And it's already very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. Third chapter, text 36, Arjuna Uvacha. Atakena prayakto yam papam chariti purushaha anichchanapi varshneya. Blood, even the Yojita. O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts? Forced, as if engaged by force. And then we all know the answer, all too well. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama, Esha, Krodha, Esha, Rajoguna, Sabudbhavaha. Mahashino Mahapapma Vidyenam Iha Vairinam. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material senses and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Why does lust go to wrath? Because you can't fulfill it. Prabhupada is such a master at succinct definitions. I just came across this very succinct definition of material desire. Material desire, Prabhupada said, is a desire you cannot fulfill. Wow! That's huge! That's why he gives the example of the sages say, whether you, there's a ladu, you know, and whether you eat it or you don't eat it, if you're in material consciousness, you lament, right? No, I cannot eat that ladu. It will just excite my passions, right? Or then if you eat the ladu, then you get, you know. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. That was the last reason Arjuna didn't want to fight. He gave him the second, it's 2-6. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed, we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this battlefield. That's the existential catch-22. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's only by getting off the illusory separatist concept of the self that we begin to actually get free, really free. Free from the desire to sin. Not just theoretically, if you can, you know. And this is what, listen to this. You know, after going through all these different kinds of sacrifices in the fourth chapter, text 25 to 32, then Krishna says, O chastiser, the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Prita, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So that's exactly where Shukadeva is at today. Transcendental knowledge. Krishna goes further, and so will Shukadeva. Here's what Krishna says in the next verse. You all know it. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. So this is where Krishna is bringing it to the transcendental point. This is, okay, knowledge. Now, here's what you got to do. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls, Krishna goes plural, first singular, then plural, can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Now, the often neglected verse is the next verse, because the next verse is what the truth is. 435, right? Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. And the thing is, when you do this under the discipline of a bona fide spiritual master, it's not just theoretical. It's practical. It's realized. And your desire begins to change. You start to have a change in heart, which is the problem. This is a heart hospital. Here we are in the heart hospital. And we're trying to get our desires purified. Only bhakti does that. When Prabhupada initiated me on Saturday, July 17th, 1971, in Detroit, Michigan, Srila Prabhupada was comparing all the other processes of self-realization to a silversmith sculpting something with a silversmith's hammer. And Prabhupada went tick, 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 tick. He could imitate animals and machines really well. Tick, 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 tick. And then Prabhupada said, but Bhakti Jol is like a sledgehammer. One stroke, boom, everything finished. Yeah. It was very, because we were about to take the leap. We were about to get initiated. So Prabhupada's encouraging us, right? He's validating our choice to take shelter of Krishna. Yeah. Okay. So it's all, I was lamenting, because we always lament, right? We wouldn't be happy unless we could be sad, right, in the material world. I was wishing I had six, you know, the 15th verse, because it's so... Anyway, that's going to be, let's see. Janani Vasprabhu, you're going to give a Bhagavatam verse tomorrow? Or? Okay, you're going to do Gopastami, okay. So I'm just calculating who's gonna get 15. 13 and 14 is Saturday. Today's Thursday, right? Yeah. And then Mara, okay, Guru Kula Maharaj, he'll give Sunday. He's got the best verse. But the two themes that I like today is knowledge is not enough. I mean, forget, you know, karma. That's just this, you know, sucker's game, right? A fool's game. And jnana is a trap. Bhakti is the only way out of the existential dilemma. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. And the other theme I liked was, you know, the testing. You know, the testing. Shukadev is really testing Parikshit Maharaj. And this testing is necessary. Very testing. It's called mutual examination. In Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 330. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatan Goswami, you've got to write a book. And that book became Hari Bhakti Vilas. And in this book, you have to describe, among other things, in this text, Mahaprabhu mentions, the process of a disciple approaching a guru, a prospective disciple approaching a prospective guru, and the guru also examining the disciple. And it's very rigorous. It's very rigorous. It's no joke. How does Mahaprabhu say that one? He says, to see if this is a person I can accept as my disciple. That takes time. That's not a small thing. And also the disciple. Is this a person I can surrender to as a bona fide representative of the parampara? Many, many places in his spoken word, his divine grace talked about this. And the first actually recorded Gita lecture, not the first. The first recording we have of Prabhupada is February 19, 1966, where you have Prabhupada dictating what became the introduction to the Gita. And it starts with a primeval sound. It's Prabhupada.
Om Agana Timurandhasya.
He starts Mangalacharana. He starts it. And he dictates the whole introduction to the Gita. That's for February 19th. A couple of weeks later, or less than two, on the 2nd of March, 66, Prabhupada's lecturing on Gita 434 through 438, how to learn the truth and approach a spiritual master. And in that, this is the first Gita lecture. And he's talking to people on the Bowery. It's even before 26th Second Avenue. He's talking to people on Skid Row, you know, the pits of New York. And he's saying that this is so important, approaching a spiritual master and the mutual examination, right? He's talking about it. And he said it's just like a young boy and a young girl considering marriage. You know, just because you have a nice girl and a nice boy doesn't mean they're going to work as husband and wife. So Prabhupada's saying, you have to thoroughly, and he's looking at his audience and he's measuring his audience, you know, he said, what's an example they're going to relate to? Okay, how about a boy and a girl? Right? And so he gives that example. It's more important than that. It's potentially and everlastingly, it's an everlasting relationship because Krishna is the center of it. Okay, so knowledge isn't enough. We need bhakti and the testing of the guru, and the testing of the disciple. Those are the themes I noticed. I'm going to read the verse again. If you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. Shukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, my dear king, if a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food, he's really making the bait. He's really got the bait here. Prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured. And the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses toward liberation from material contamination. You see, he's he's saying it in a way that's, you know, he's making it tempting, but he's also he's hinting that there's more. And Parikshit Maharaj knows there's more. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Questions, comments? Kina Nagari Prabhu. Lock the mic. So I'm going to ask the $1 million question. Somebody may object that a pukka gyani is better than a sloppy devotee. So what's the opinion on that? Yes, he is, but he's going in the wrong direction. Maybe. It depends. I mean, you're generalizing. So you define, who is you, what's your gyani up to? What's he doing?
My gyani is a gyani according to the descriptions given in the Vedic literature. And my brahmacharya, studying Vedanta, maybe has a tinge of impersonalism, but is, you know, open to other ideas like that, you know. Strictly following religious principles, vegetarian, okay? That's my gyani. So the thing is, in my sloppy devotee is what we know is, we know what a sloppy devotee is like. So who's better, the gyani or the sloppy devotee? A devotee who has accepted Lord Krishna, he's got initiated, but he's not really following the four regular principles. He's kind of sort of chanting every now and then, but, you know, very sloppy about it. So
it's too vague.
Too vague?
Yeah, because, you know, if you said the magic words in 9:30, Krishna says, apichet, you know, apichet, sudaracharo. And then, but the operative phrase in that is the last line, samyag vivasito hisa. Krishna goes so far as to say, this is according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that somebody who's, you know, he's going to die trying to serve Krishna. He's never going to give up. But at the same time, he might be addicted to sinful activities. It just might be his thing. And he's not sitting on the strength of chanting. He knows he's the worst. I just give the devotees a bad... I'm the black sheep of the family. I give the devotees a bad name. And I'm addicted to sinful activity, but I will never give up. I will never give up trying to serve Krishna. So this was according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is Krishna's trump card, because Arjuna kept pressing... This is according to Vishwanath. Arjuna kept pressing him. How can you say somebody's saintly? I can... Okay, maybe he's... trying, but you say he's saintly? So Krishna, he's getting more and more impatient with Arjuna as Arjuna is pressing him. And he says, no, he is saintly, because samyag vyavastito hisa, he's rightly situated in his determination to serve me, even as he's addicted to them. It might be the most... Just think of the most abominable thing. What do prisoners kill prisoners for in prison? You know, child molesters. Or, you know, cannibals or something. You think of the worst thing, you know, that prisoners kill other prisoners for in the prison. And Krishna's saying to Arjuna, if he's rightly situated in his determination to serve me, he is saintly. And then, why? Because the very next verse, kshipram, quickly, kshipram bhavati dharmatma sashvat chantim nigacchati konteya. You declare it, Arjuna. They won't trust me. I'm tricky. I break my promises to save my devotees. Konteya pratijanihi. What do you declare? Name bhakta pranashati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, do you go out? You declare it boldly. My devotee will never perish, because he's determined. And in that fire of repentance, of thinking I'm the worst devotee, it actually does eventually burn up the addictions, sooner or later. Krishna said, kshipram, you know, maybe we think kshipram means tomorrow, right? But Krishna's got his eternal perspective. Right? It's like, you know, one of the prophecies that our founder Acharya fulfilled. And Krishna says to Ganga, be patient. You know, Ganga says, hey, what are we going to do? Kali Yuga is going to come. You're going to leave Krishna. Kali Yuga is going to come in. All these Kali Yugans, they're going to dump their pop, their sinful activities in our sacred waters. We want to become toxic waste dumps. Of course, I'm putting it in modern vernacular. So Krishna says, be patient. After 5,000 years, I will send my mantra upasaka, my great worshipper of the holy name. He will spread it all over the world. He will inspire so many pure devotees everywhere in the world, and they will all come to your sacred waters, and they will purify you of sinful reactions. He turned it right around on Ganga. So I'm just running with your example. I'm making it a little more specific. If somebody is very sincere and at the same time addicted to sinful activities, but determined, stronger than their addiction is their determination to die trying to serve Krishna, they're better situated than if somebody's a jnani, and I'm just going to say he's proud. That's the big killer, you know. Pride goeth before destruction and the fall before a haughty spirit, it says in the New Testament of the Bible. So, that's he's proud. But you were saying he's open, so maybe he's not so proud. Maybe he's a Brahmavadi and Atma Ramas Chamunayo. Maybe after hearing about Krishna, like Sugadev, like Bhuvamangala Thakur, like the four Kumaras, he'll be attracted. Maybe. But you gotta be a little more defining. But we're, you know, even the fallen devotee, you know, if he's samyag, there's the one. If we're samyag, if we're determined, if we're going to die trying to serve Krishna no matter what, and we're not sitting on the strength of chanting, that's a whole different thing. That's the worst offense. That's namno balad yasthi papa buddhi. Krishna's not fooled, you know, by sinning and, what is it, sinning and confessing. That's what Parikshit rejected.